Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined as always by Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens. And we have a lot to get into this week. In this episode, we're going to highlight Colton Cowser, your American League Player of the Week, and his hot start to the season, as well as the debut of Jackson Holliday. Later on this week, we're going to take a look at the pitching in the minor leagues and then also answer questions from our listeners. But before we begin, we have an exciting announcement here, which is that on Saturday, May 11th, we will be returning to Checker Spot Brewing in Baltimore for our second live show there, our third overall, our second at Checker Spot. We're very happy to be welcomed back by the great staff there. Our plan is to begin the show around 2 p.m. that afternoon, and we encourage our listeners to come not just for the show, but to stick around after the game or after the show, as the Orioles will be taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks that afternoon. If you have tickets to the Orioles game, don't worry. Checker Spot is just a short distance from Camden Yards and is a great destination pregame and perhaps postgame as well. Checker Spot is at 1421 Ridgely Street in Baltimore. We will have more details about the show between now and May 11th, but be on the lookout for announcements of guests. We'll also have a Q&A with listeners. And who knows what else? And Bob, I know right now you're on a mission when it comes to booking guests for this show.
Yes, I am. They will probably be the guests that you're expecting. But hey, we appreciate those guests because they're great guests. And yeah, we'd love to have them out again. And maybe there will be a surprise or two up my sleeve. You never know who I will just randomly DM and see what they have to say. So yeah, I'm excited for it. And hopefully we get some listeners turning out to see us.
There's a certain billionaire that likes to wander around the Camden Yards area. So wouldn't that be a fun afternoon? But
certainly looking forward to it. And as I said, we will have more on the live show between now and May 11th. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to start off, though, on tonight's episode by recognizing Colton Cowser, who continues his hot start to the season by being named Player of the Week for last week. Cowser just having a very good start, as I mentioned so far, hitting the ball hard, playing good left field. And Nick, I'll start with you here because you've been all three of us have been Cowser supporters for a long time, but you've been a very vocal one. What's your reaction to the start that he's getting off to in the major leagues?
The Colton Cowser rants paid off. I'm glad they didn't make me look like a complete idiot in past episodes. It's been a lot of fun to watch him settle in here. I know it's only been a week or so. We're still talking small sample size territory, but we're recording on the heels of I think he went 0-for-4 with 4Ks tonight. Rough time in there, Colton. But still, you zoom out and look at this big picture here. I could not be more excited for Colton Cowser to be taking control of this job in the major leagues, because I go back to when he was drafted. He was not a popular pick among a lot of fans, right? I didn't watch Sam Houston baseball beforehand. That was back in the Dr. Stephen Loftus days, and I remember having him on before the draft when Cowser's name was being thrown out there, and Stephen was, you know, fairly warm on Cowser and his game and what he could bring to the organization. And he really sold me after the draft. I think we brought him back on, and he was pretty hyped about the Colton Cowser pick and what he was going to bring. And so I was like, this is cool, right? It seemed like he was a high floor, maybe not a super high ceiling type player, but I was still excited to see what he could become. And then we got to watch him in Delmarva, and it was like, oh, this matches up with the scouting reports. This matches up with kind of what Steven was dreaming on when he talked about him a little bit after the draft. And then immediately, though, in Aberdeen, when he started to struggle, everyone who hated that draft pick jumped on him. And jumped. There was the "We have the Colton Cowser" tweet. I pulled that tweet up. I should have put that one out there. We have a Colton Cowser problem tweet. He's striking out too much. The guy just completed what he was AL Player of the Week this past week in Major League Baseball. He's got takeaway Monday night's game. I don't have those updated numbers here, but he had a 302 WRC plus in his first 14 games this season. He's at 1.2 F4 already right now. He's playing really good defense out there. That game in Kansas City in the rain, he was making good plays. He's doing it at the plate. He's doing it on the base paths. He's showing that power that, you know, John Mioli came on before the season started and said, look, this organization thinks there's more power in there. And we're probably going to end up seeing that this year. Or at least the Orioles really hope they see that power this year. That home run he had the other day, Man, that was just like he let out every frustration he had and was just like, exclamation point, statement, I'm here, MFers. Like, this is my job. I have arrived. That was one of the most beautiful home runs I've seen this year.
The 3-0 in Boston?
Yeah. It was like, that was the moment. Like, Colton Cowser's here. He's arrived. You know, it's still he's going to have his stretches where it's maybe not be as pretty, but I'm just so glad he seems to be settling in and taking over this role. We'll see what this means for like Austin Hayes. We'll see what it means as the season goes on in terms of playing time, but patience paid off with this kid in a major way.
Yeah, he went 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts tonight, but he's still batting .395 with a .1297 OPS. He showed off the range, the good reads that we talked about as he was coming up that he did not display in the major leagues in his short time in 2023. He made some great plays in Boston against the Green Monster and in left field at Camden Yards. Today he was playing right field and showed off his arm. Didn't throw anybody out, but you could just see it. He let it air out a little bit. He's just carrying himself much differently, much more confident. I think it was important for him, his own sake, to get off to a good start. He had a great spring. He won the job to make the team. He didn't get as much playing time as he probably should have early in the season, but he made the most of what he got. And I think his confidence was building every single time he showed up to the field. And maybe it's the beard. The beard looks good. And he just, even when, I don't know, even when he's striking out, you can see he's just like, damn, I missed that one. It just is so much different from last year, and love to see it. I think he's going to be in the lineup most nights, at least unless he goes on a big-time struggle, which I don't see happening. He has not shown off the great walking skills, plate discipline, on-base percentage, but he hasn't had to because when you're hot, you're going to be more aggressive and you're going to hit the ball hard with impact. He's got 10 extra base hits already, 6 doubles, 4 home runs. He's stolen 2 bases. And even though he's only walked 3 times, he still has an 8% walk rate, which is right around league average. And we know he can do better than that. I think he's going to be a mainstay for the Orioles. He's announced himself, like Nick said, he's arrived. I agree that 3-0 home run in the extra innings was the one that was like, my God, he didn't just go the opposite way with the breaking ball. He sat on a fastball and just destroyed it to right center field and looked good doing it. Just lean back and let it rip. So I'm super excited that Cowser's here. And maybe that had to do with why they brought up Jackson Holliday when they did, because they said, okay, Cowser's done adapting. Let's bring up the next kid to adapt.
Cowser last week hit .435 with 4 homers, 12 RBIs, and 4 doubles. What has jumped out to me, and I think you're both touched on some really good points, and Bob, I have especially noticed that Cowser seems more relaxed in his approach compared to the way he looked in the major leagues last year, and more confident in the results are there for him. What jumps out at me is just that he can hit the ball hard to all fields, and it's maybe outside of Gunnar Henderson. I don't know if the Orioles have a hitter who can do it to the extent that Cowser does. He can rope a line drive down the left field line as well as anybody. He can pull one out to right center field and hit a home run. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up being the left-handed hitter on the Orioles this year who scales the Mount Waldemore, or whatever we're calling it now, the left field wall, because he's got that kind of power. He can take a pitch the other way. So that's something to really keep an eye on, but the defense has looked great, and I go back to a point that I've made on here before about Cowser, which is that the Orioles were forced, I think, to use him in ways they didn't plan on using him in the major leagues last year. I don't think they wanted him playing center field as much as they did, as he did. I don't think he would have gotten as many at-bats as he had if not for Cedric Mullins and Aaron Hicks both being hurt. Aaron Hicks was there kind of as the buffer, if you will, that could have helped ease Cowser in, and he ends up getting hurt. So this year, with a good spring training, Cowser has been able to build off of the adjustments he made in the minor leagues when he went back down there last year, and the power is really coming through.
Yeah, it's, you look at his hard hit rate, 57.7%. It's 97th percentile in baseball. Average exit velo, 93.1 miles per hour. That's 91st percentile in baseball right now. And you look at some of his average numbers right now, about half of the number of batted balls, a little more than half the number of batted balls that he had in his short stint last year in the majors. But that average exit velo is up about 6 miles per hour. His max EV is up from 107.7 to 113.6 miles per hour. Like, he's hitting the ball, he's launching the ball more, he's hitting the ball harder. That hard hit rate, almost 60%, is absurd. Like, yeah, I think that's two things. Maybe he's not sitting here at like 97th percentile in all of baseball on hard hit percentage, or, you know, 91st percentile on average exit velo, you know, three months from now. But I imagine he doesn't dip too much. I think, like, the power numbers there, I think those are going to remain pretty consistent. I don't see that power going away too much. And, you know, talking about the, yeah, he went 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts tonight. That's baseball. It happens to everybody at least once in a year, right? But the other night, I don't remember exactly what game it was, but Ben McDonald even made a comment. I think he laid off a pitch. I want to say it was like a two strike pitch, like a fastball up and in or something. And Ben McDonald made a remark and said, last year, Cal's are swinging at that. He's swinging and missing at that. He's striking out. And this year, he's laying off. So I think that's some of the things, the adjustments you're seeing him make. Even apparently he made the adjustment with his hands to help better get to, you know, off-speed pitches and breaking pitches. And right now, I don't think he faced, I don't have Monday night's numbers, so these are probably changed, but going into Monday night's game, he was hitting 500 against breaking pitches with two doubles and a home run. Like, give it a few more weeks to see these numbers kind of stabilize, but that's a pretty good start. And when it comes to fastballs, he had a 30% whiff rate against fastballs last year. That was down to 19% coming into Monday night. So I think all this stuff is going to be pretty sustainable for Kowser. I don't think it's like a flash in the pan type thing here with him.
Yeah, Daddy's going to have 1300 OPS by the time the year ends. But yeah, I think you're totally right. He's kind of found that happy medium where I think he got caught last year where more contact oriented, he couldn't hit for the extra bases that he wanted. And then he tried to focus more on hitting for power and was swinging and missing a lot. And it seems just like he's really comfortable. Seems like he's really found his sweet spot. And look, he's going to be a guy that strikes out because obviously he's playing more for the impact. And that's what the Orioles preach all the way from when they draft these guys until they get up to the majors. They preach the impacting the ball, the high exit velocities. And what do you know? All these guys come up. Gunner is like 99th percentile in average exit velocity. Kowser's up there. Westberg crushes the ball consistently. And I think you're just going to see that when Mayo comes up, Kursak comes up, all these guys, they hit the ball extremely hard, and Kowser is one of them. And yeah, it's just going to lead to good results. So I'm very happy that he is doing what he's doing. Silence the doubters, and I'm sure they'll come out of the woodwork tonight after his performance. But you're just going to have to live with like around 30% strikeout rate with Kowser, maybe a little bit less in an ideal world, but that's not going to slow him down whatsoever.
No, absolutely. I agree. And we'll move on now to talk about Jackson Holliday, who made his major league debut when the Orioles were in Fenway Park last week. And it has been a little bit of a slow start for Holliday. It took until Sunday for him to collect his first hit. Big moment, though, in a win against the Brewers as he hit a single, with his 0 for 4 performance on Monday night included. So far, Holliday is 1 for 19 in the major leagues, which is a .53 batting average with 3 runs scored. Bob, I'll go back to you to start here. It's been, you know, a little bit of a slow go, but we've seen this before. We saw it with Adley Rutschman in 2022. We saw it with Gunnar Henderson when he made his full season, was playing in the major leagues for a full season for the first time in 2023. And we even saw it with Colton Cowder in his first stint. With that in mind, how do you think Holliday has looked to this point if you kind of pick apart his performance?
I'd say in his first four games, he looked extremely overwhelmed. He was not himself, I would say, at the plate. I think so much pressure, 20 years old, like just turned 20 4 months ago. He's got all this pressure. His dad is in the house, all the media attention. And obviously he carries himself more mature than his age. And he didn't let it show really, but I feel like his at-bats is where you could tell. He was swinging at the first pitch a lot. I think he was just really trying to jump on the ball, get that first hit out of the way. But that led to him starting almost, I swear, at least 80% of his at-bats in the first four games, started 0-2 in the count. And that's just never a good position to be in as a hitter. I don't care who you are. Because he's got a great eye and great approach, he would work the counts back in his favor before striking out like 60% of the time. But he actually got ahead of the count in his with his first hit in the eighth inning of Sunday's game and then ripped a single in the right field. And I'd say today he was 0 for 4 with the strikeout tonight, but his at-bats looked much more accustomed to what we're seeing, where he was being a little bit more patient, hitting the ball. He actually hit the ball in the air relatively hard, the opposite field, for a flyout in his first at-bat. I just think now, let's judge him from this point on. Like, I think he's going to settle in fairly quickly, especially for his age. And in a month or so, we'll be saying, okay, here's the prospect we knew we were getting, what we have. And then we can bring up Coby Mayo or Heston Kerstad or someone else to let them get acclimated to the majors. I think that's the pattern that we're going to see this year. And yeah, I think every time there are people that will say, what a bust. Oh, I knew they rushed him, even though they were the ones that were pissed that he didn't start the year on the major league roster. And it's just funny to watch these guys every time. And then inevitably in 2 months when they're adjusted and performing the way we expect them to, then they're their biggest fans again. So
it's the circle of life for the more casual fan, right? You learn about hot new prospect, you see he's playing well, you demand he be called up, you watch him struggle initially, and then you demand he get sent back down and tweet something like, I told you he wasn't ready, he needs more development time. I've never watched minor league baseball in my life, but I tell you, that kid needs more development time. He's only 20 years old, he ain't Manny Machado. Like, okay, he doesn't need more development time. Like, what more can you learn going up against quad A arms? Like, how many quality left-handers? And I've heard other people make this point. I'm stealing it. Not an original thought here, but how many like high quality lefty pitchers are you going to face in AAA? Like, those guys are in the majors, the good ones. Teams aren't going to let you just languish in AAA. So I don't know. You hear this so many times too about players in the system, is that how the Orioles have developed this culture where it's perfectly okay to fail and fall flat on your face. And they want their young players to be uncomfortable. When they start getting too comfy at a level, they push them up to the next level. They kind of like feed them to the wolves. But there's also this really massive support system in place to help pick them up when they fail. And with Holiday, like, he's going to settle in defensively. He's going to learn how to work with the rest of the infield. That communication between, you know, himself, the other infielders, the communication with the outfielders, Santander, Mullins, whoever else is in right field, that's going to get better as they all get more reps and get more comfortable together. I also think part of this is, I do agree with what Bob said, Jackson Holiday can say what he wants, but he's a 20-year-old kid making his MLB debut with all the pressure in the world on him. And like, those media scrum photos before his debut, like, that is insane. Like, how do you, you're in Norfolk playing, which I made that comment today. Why do you let that kid go back to Norfolk? Because they were in Charlotte. You let him go back to Norfolk for like a day. And then he's got to pack up after that game. Was that Tuesday night? Then he like traveled to Richmond, went from Richmond to Boston. And then he's in Boston. He's like, I haven't even had caffeine today, which I get it. I don't know if I would need caffeine either when I'm about to make my MLB debut. But it just seemed like a lot for opening day. Then you're on the road. I don't know. For me, with Holiday, I feel like another point to add to that is that if I'm a pitcher, I don't want to be on the Jackson Holiday highlight reel when he hits his first home run or he starts to settle in, because like, yes, some of it's nerves and the fact that he's 20 years old in the big leagues, but there's also this fact that these pitchers are probably giving him some of their nastiest stuff. And there's a little bit more oomph in those pitches that he's giving them because they want to have that moment where they say, hit it, kid, come hit it, rookie. Like, you're in the big leagues now. You're not facing other teams like Bruce Zimmerman's. Like, you're facing real high quality all-star starters here. The game will slow down for him. He will adjust. I think he's going to be perfectly fine. Even if it takes a couple more weeks, he's going to be fine. But the Orioles would not have promoted him if they didn't think he was fully ready to be challenged at the next level. And that does mean some failure is going to come along the way.
I will say he's getting fed a ton of breaking stuff, not getting a lot of fastballs. And I think that's where the early 0-1, 0-2 counts, he's probably expecting, okay, I'm going to jump on fastball early. And then it's a nasty changeup or slider, and he's missing. But the league adjusts to him, he'll adjust back, and he's going to be perfectly fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bob, just to build on the point you just made, I'm looking into Pitt's data, and I think this was current before Monday's game. 48.5% of the pitches he's thrown seen so far, according to Baseball Savant, have been fastballs. 36.4% have been breaking balls. So he's getting fed a pretty steady diet of breaking balls right now, and that's going to be one of the hardest things for a hitter to adjust to. And the other issue, too, is that he probably has not been in a situation in a long time, if ever, where he's seeing this many breaking balls and falling behind in the count pretty much every at bat. At least early on he was. We're starting to see him get ahead a little bit more now, but that's, you know, a series of adjustments he's going to have to go through. Ultimately, he's going to be fine. You can see flashes of it here and there where he has such an advanced plate approach for his age, and you can tell he has a really good head on his shoulders. I don't worry about him not being able to rebound from a bad 2 weeks or a bad month. I'm going to transition to this point, though, with Holiday, because I was something I was thinking about over the weekend. This is now the third consecutive year that we've had a high-profile debut, or really, I guess, third or fourth consecutive season, maybe, if you count Calder last year, you count Gunnar at the beginning of last year, Adley in 2022, Gunnar and Calder in 2023, and then Holiday this year. Is it fair to say that while the expectations for some of those players, in particular Rutschman and Henderson, were really high when they were coming up, that the expectations for Holiday are even higher, that he maybe has more eyes on him than any Orioles prospect we've seen in a long time, if ever?
I would say 1,000% yes. Okay. I think Gunnar, at least he got that taste at the end of 2022. And, you know, he actually got off to a decent start, probably just because he was in the middle of a really, really successful season. And then the league had a chance to adjust to him over the offseason. Adley was obviously big, but the Orioles were not expected to be good, and they weren't good until after he came up. So I think that took off a little bit this year or that year. Holiday, though, he's got the name value. That fact that he's, again, just turned 20 years old, was the first pick in the draft only less than two years ago. And we're a 101-win team that's trying to win the World Series again, and people are expecting him to be a big part of it. The way that he performed in spring training might have backfired on him, at least as far as, like, we're saying the built-up expectations go. So I would definitely say easily yes.
Yeah, I mean, he was a full year younger, at least, than Gunnar Henderson was when Gunnar made his MLB debut. And it, like, this wasn't us. Like, I feel like we were playing catch up with the Jackson Holiday hype coming into this season. It's like you had MLB Pipeline, Jim Callis over to MLB Pipeline on, you know, national media and podcasts, saying that at this point in his career, like going back to, you know, late last year or this offseason, I don't remember exactly when he first came out with the statement, but making statements like, yeah, at this point in his career, Jackson Holiday was a better prospect than Gunnar Henderson ever was. And so I think that adds to that pressure there. There was a lot more hype with Holiday coming up. And Gunnar kind of, you know, Gunnar was a good prospect when the Orioles drafted him, obviously. But it took him a while to develop into that top prospect. He made tremendous gains those last little bit in the minor leagues. But Holiday, I feel like from the jump, we're expecting tremendous things. We're watching how many people were flocking down to Sarasota to watch every single FCL at bat. It was a little bit different with him. And Adley, I feel like you had the defense to fall back on. Adley could get behind the plate, and even though he wasn't hitting, even though he wasn't showcasing the power, he was still up there calling a tremendous game. The Orioles were winning baseball games when Adley was behind the plate. The pitcher's ERA difference with Adley behind the plate versus when he wasn't behind the plate was very noticeable, and that made a huge impact to this team. But with Holiday, it's the expectations are just through the roof to begin the season, and he will begin to live up to them. I still have no doubts. I mean, you look at some of his numbers too. Like, the kid last year in Double A had a 20% strikeout rate, and in Triple A he had 18.7% strikeout rate, and in Triple A this year is 14.3%. Like, those are small, all smaller sample size. Even in high A, he had a 20% strikeout rate. Like, that's going to go up, probably be what, somewhere between what, 22, 23, 24% strikeout rate in the big leagues when he settles in, not the 60% strikeout rate that he's at right now. It's going to stabilize, and it's not going to be a terrible strikeout rate. And he's going to start walking, because that's what he did extremely well in the minor leagues throughout his career. So it's, yeah, give him a few more weeks, let him settle in. I have no worries there with Holiday.
Yeah, with Gunnar, like you said, we had a chance to see his development play out with Gunnar. I mean, with Jackson, excuse me. I feel like he moved too quick. We can never like just settle in and get a great idea of what he was. Cause like you said, they were challenging him every step of the way. He would master a level in like a month or two and then get moved up again. But I will say it was surreal to have Kowser, Westberg, Holiday, flip the lineup, Gunnar, Adley, five in a row, just these stud prospects. It's surreal, and it's awesome because we followed these guys from the very beginning, all of them, and it's just going to continue to get better and better on that front for us.
And if you go to those if you go to those Brewers games real quick, you also had DL Hall and Joey Ortiz on the opposite major league roster. Like, talk about player development, and that was weird. I was not anticipating how weird it was going to be. I watched DL Hall's first, what, two outings he had before he faced the Orioles. I watched him, had fun, cheered him on. I know they weren't great, but I thought, this is cool. I watched Joey Ortiz in a Brewers game, thought it was cool. But when you're watching him pitch in a Brewers uniform at Camden Yards, that was weird as hell.
It hurt to see Joey. I mean, love that he was performing well, but just to see him play well in the field, get all those hits, I'm not going to lie, it hurt a little bit.
Yeah. But point being, that was a lot of homegrown Orioles talent on the same field at the same time. And that's pretty cool to see.
I was at Camden Yards night for the really, really bad 10-1 loss against the Brewers. And seeing Joey Ortiz hit that triple was bittersweet. I was happy for him, but it's like, all right, well, now it's kind of dumping all out. But good for him and good for DL Hall as well to get the chances they deserve. But going back to Jackson Holiday for a moment, the final point I would make about him is that don't read a lot into the strikeout to walk numbers initially, probably not even for the first half of the year, because for a variety of reasons, while I pay close attention to them in the minor leagues, I tend to toss them out the window for hitters and pitchers when they're coming up to the majors and trying to assess them, because there's a lot of reasons why those numbers are going to go in a different direction. And looking at hitters specifically, we just talked about it. You know, Holiday has not seen the quality of breaking balls that he's seeing right now. He's not seen the high level of lefties that he is seeing right now. And then there's small little things that you have to factor in. You're moving from a completely different environment, the way that pitches are called at the AAA level, to having human umpires who, let's face it, probably don't give a lot of borderline pitches to rookies. You can tell sometimes. You watch a game, you got a rookie at the plate, and he's down 1-2 in the count. Ball just a little bit off the plate that for a veteran hitter might be called a ball. It's called a strike. It's just little things like that add up.
Ask Wyatt Langford about that with Angel Hernandez behind the plate. That was awful. 3-0 count, three sliders that were like a foot off the plate. Strike one, strike two, strike three. And also, it's also a big adjustment now because in the minors, these guys have every Monday off. They're in one city for six consecutive days. Whereas you get to the majors and it's road trips and three games at a time and more travel. And obviously you're compensated for that. You're making a lot more money when you're there, but it's just also an adjustment of just lifestyle as well.
Yeah. I want to make one more point real quick. And that's said before the season. I think Bob, actually, I think you put your money where your mouth was on this. But I did say before the season started that it's April 15th, so let's not get too ahead of ourselves here yet. But I did say before the season started that if I were to bet, you put the money on Colton Kowser winning Rookie of the Year, which I think you actually did. I think I saw the screenshot in the Discord. Smart bet. Hopefully that does continue, but it'll be an interesting race between Kowser and Jackson Holiday. But I did say before the season that smart money is put the money on Kowser because he keeps hitting the ball hard like this and putting up those home run numbers, he's going to be in serious consideration. But I do wonder, now talking through Jackson Holiday, I almost wonder if, because he's coming off to this really slow start, I wonder if he starts to settle in and has like this Gunnar Henderson type season arc like Gunnar had last year. I could see Jackson Holliday kind of running away with this fairly easily. Again, haven't really checked in on the Texas guys in the last couple of days, so I don't know what they're doing, but I almost wonder if this bad start, quote unquote bad start for Holliday, is going to work to his advantage a little bit later in the year.
Yeah, certainly did for Gunnar. I know. Yeah, I'm feeling myself because I posted the clip from our preseason prediction with Connor here, where I called the debut off by like 12 hours. So I was feeling myself, and I did place the bet on Kowser in the offseason for plus 5,000. I did $5 on it. Wish I would have put a little bit more on that at this point. But yeah, now he's all the way down to like plus 320 or something like that. So yeah, hopefully that cashes. But hey, it doesn't matter to me. If an Oriole wins, I'll be happy.
And we'll be, of course, following that Rookie of the Year race all season long here on Orioles on the Verge. That does it for this episode. We will be back later this week to talk about pitching in the minor leagues. Several prospects are off to great starts on the mound. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into their successes. In the meantime, you can find us on our multitude of social media channels, including Facebook, X, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. We're also over at Substack, OriolesOnTheVerge.substack.com. And while you're browsing around the internet, be sure to head over to our Patreon community and sign up. Today, you can join for as little as $3 a month. And at the $5 and $10 levels, you'll have access to bonus daily coverage from Bob, Nick, and I as we look at all things Orioles minor leagues. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, part of the Believe Podcast Network.